Well, this is what we're going to consider our New Year service, since it's very close to the New Year, which is just a day or two away. So I thought this would be the morning that we wish you all a Happy New Year. And I trust that by God's grace, that this would be your best year ever. And I mean that completely. I mean that sincerely. And by God's grace, you should confidently expect that, regardless of what's going on in your life. Now, in the world, what people do is they tend to think, well, if it's my best year ever, then I'll have great circumstances, right? You know, I'll have an awesome boyfriend or girlfriend, or an awesome marriage, or awesome kids, or I'll get a new job, I'll make a lot of money, or I'll have awesome health, or just all of those things of life. None of those unimportant would be happening in a way that is incredible. But you might be thinking, many people think this way, Greg, how could this be my best year ever when I'm facing so many problems? I mean, we've maybe had a death in the family. There are people that I love, or maybe even you, that you've been diagnosed with some kind of severe physical illness, or perhaps just you're in declining health. Maybe you've had some kind of fractured personal relationships or just personal struggles, unfulfilled dreams. How in the world could I have my best year ever when life's not going the way I want it to go? Well, my goal this morning is to help you think about what God says in His Word. We're not going through Romans as we typically would do, but as we get ready for a new year, I wanted to bring a message that I've entitled Your Best Year Ever. We're going to look at four passages, Psalm 1, Joshua 1, 1 Peter 2, and 2 Corinthians 3. Just a verse or two from each. And my hope is to encourage you, and those of you who know your Bible already know exactly what I'm going to say, because you know those references. I don't think I'm going to say anything new this morning. But if your faith is in Jesus Christ, I hope you'll be encouraged by the truth of God's Word, that regardless what's going on in your life, you can have your best year ever. And if your faith is not in Jesus Christ, I hope that you'll listen and give some thought to what God's Word says, because I'm convinced if you would prayerfully and regularly spend time in God's Word, fellowship with Him throughout the Word, throughout the year, and humbly submit your life to His truth, that regardless of your circumstances, regardless of what's going on in your life, you can have your best year ever. And this is not a motivational speech, all right? I'm not a life coach. I'm not even saying I'm against that. But what we're talking about is something absolutely supernatural. So what we're going to do is look at the reality that the Bible teaches that if you would prayerfully, regularly spend time in God's Word, fellowshipping with Him as you do, humbly submitting yourself to His truth, you can have the best year ever, because those in God's Word, what? We'll look at four passages, and I'll put all the verses right on the screen. So if you want to open up your Bible to Psalm 1, you're welcome to. If you want to just watch the screen, that's fine. Number one, those in God's Word who delight in God's Word and meditate in God's Word will be blessed. How do we know that? Because of Psalm 1. Let's review it together. I put up verse 1. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. So if I want to open my heart to God's Word, the first thing I have to do is I have to realize there's a lot of wrong counsel in the world. And more than that, there's a lot of wrong counsel in your own heart. See, the average person just thinks, listen to your heart. It'll never steer you wrong. Just do what you really think right. And that would be some of the worst counsel you will ever receive. I have to realize that there's a man, according to the Bible, who's blessed. Notice what he doesn't do. He doesn't listen to ungodly advice. He doesn't join in ungodly behavior. And he doesn't embrace ungodly living. He says, I'm not walking in what the wicked counsel me to do. I'm not going to stand in the path of sinners in the sense of following their example. Nor am I going to sit in the seat of the scoffers. These would be people who turn their back on God's wisdom. What does he do? Verse 2 makes it clear. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. The law of the Lord, that would just be, for all practical purposes, the Bible. This is a person who delights in the Bible. This is a person who meditates on what God says. You say, is it Bible reading? Yes. Is it more than Bible reading? Yes. You know, a lot of people say, okay, so you're going to talk about Bible reading, and I've already tried that. Just read the Bible, check the box, watch your life change. It's not what we're talking about, but you can't do it without Bible reading. It's the idea that you get into God's Word and you delight in it and you meditate on it because you have a relationship with Him. You say, okay, Greg, but what if I don't have a relationship with Him? What if I'm not even a Christian? Then I would say, open up God's Word and pray, Lord, whatever is true, show me. And I believe that God would answer that prayer if it's prayed in humility and sincerity. And what happens to the person who delights in the law of the Lord and in His law of the Bible, he meditates day and night, verse 3. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. You know people like that. You know people, I know people. The kind of people who get diagnosed with terminal diseases. And you visit them, and all they do is encourage you. And you leave, and you think, Lord, this is weird. They're supposed to be all messed up, and I'm supposed to be encouraging them. And here they are being of, how are they that way? I mean, come on, where are many of us? Many of us are in the place where we drive down the road, and somebody pulls out in front of us, and it ruins our morning. Okay? That is not a Psalm 1 person. Okay? You say, okay, preach to me because I relate to that. All right. A Psalm 1 person is like a tree firmly planted by streams of water. Which means, picture, when life gets hard, that would be like a drought. The roots hit the stream of water. Its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. There's a picture of a beautiful tree next to water. You know, I love trees. I've planted multiple trees where I live. When we built the house a long time ago, you know, everything was kind of knocked down. There was really nothing nice there in the first place. And I've had the joy of watching trees grow. I've planted a number of river birch trees. I love river birches. I've read they're the only ornamental tree without flowers. You think about it. And here's a river birch, so nice, so wonderful, as long as it's raining and a little bit cool. And then every now and then, not every summer, but most summers, we get hit with very hot weather, very dry weather. And even though it's summer, my river birches look like fall because there's leaves everywhere. They don't look like this tree. See, my river birches aren't planted by a river. I assume that's why they're called river birches. That's where they should be planted, right? And if I did it all again, I might even plant something different. But that's a tree in the picture that is robust and strong. Now notice, I didn't say that tree will never face affliction. The Bible never teaches, if you spend time fellowshipping with God every day in His Word, that everything's going to go awesome. You might have incredibly bad times happen. But the fact of the matter is, you will be like the tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Why? Because this is a person who knows Jesus Christ and spends time in God's Word daily. You say, I would want to be a blessed person like that. You can be. It's there for you. If that's what you would desire to do, according to Psalm 1, those who spend that kind of time in God's Word will be blessed. And many of you know Joshua 1, number 2. Just looking at four simple passages this morning. Those who spend time in fellowship with God, according to Joshua chapter 1, not only will be blessed, but they will prosper. Joshua chapter 1. And again, I'll put right on the screen here, verse 7 of Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, verse 7. And you know the context real quick. Here is Joshua, kind of the new leader, taking over leadership from Moses, leading the people into the promised land. The Lord says, only be strong and be very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law. That's, we would just say the Bible. According to all the Bible, which Moses, my servant, commanded you, do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. I think it's interesting. Submit to it. Don't turn from it to the left or to the right. So what we want to do by God's grace is we have to do more than delight in God's word and meditate on God's word. But people that have a heart to submit, not going to the left, not going to the right, but the idea that the Bible is true, the Bible is God's word, and I submit to it. I don't even have to agree with it, but I submit to it because I accept it as truth. You say, what happens when that happens? You may have success, spiritual success, wherever you go. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 continues, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have good success." Again, I want to prosper. I want to have success. What do? I meditate on God's word. I submit to what is written in it. And sometimes people say, is the goal to memorize as much scripture as you can? The answer is no. I want to be careful because I know some of you, maybe you memorize like a whole book of the Bible, which is awesome. But let me just remind us that there are unbelievers who do that. They memorize parts of the Bible, just like memorizing Shakespeare. It's what they do. More important is meditating on what you memorize. So if a person were to say, if I were to memorize a verse, how long should I think about it until it changes your behavior? Do you see that in the verse? So that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. It would be better to memorize one verse a year and actually see it change your behavior than to memorize a whole book of the Bible and yet there's no behavioral change. See, the goal would be, according to Joshua 1:8, that by God's grace, God's word is working in your heart, changing your life, and reminding you of what you know to be true, Joshua 1:9. Have not I commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be trembled. Do not tremble or be dismayed. Why? For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You say, how do you have that kind of confidence that I don't need to be afraid, that God is with me wherever I go? It's by meditating on his word. You've heard many people say this from this pulpit. It's not original here, but I've read it from many different authors. One of the most dangerous things we do is listen to ourselves. We daydream, and we often think thoughts that are just not accurate, that are destructive, that are wrong. One of the most beneficial things that you can do is to speak truth to yourself. You say, how do you speak truth to yourself? You meditate on the scripture. And the Bible says that you will be a person who prospers. You will have success. I was thinking about the word success. So I popped into a Google search, success. And I came across all of these little things on dress for success. And what was interesting is they were all about job interviews. So I guess that's an important topic. So I just read a couple lines of all of these different sites. I've seen the same picture repeated multiple times. And it was like this. If you want a new job, a better job, when you interview, you better dress professional. Now it goes on to say, do professionals dress this way daily in work? No, they don't. It's outdated generally. But it is expected when you go for an interview, you would dress professional. And then once you get a job in a professional setting, then you would understand their dress code. You would dress appropriately. But you want to make sure you, the professional was the word they kept using, professional, corporate, professional. Dress for success. You say, will that help you get a job? You know, that's what these websites say. I don't know. I don't know enough to know that. But one thing I do know is the Bible says if you will spend time meditating on God's word, you say, you picked a picture on purpose where someone had a cup of coffee, didn't you? I didn't find it offensive. Let's put it that way, okay? That's how I enjoy reading my Bible. Now, not sitting cross-legged, okay? And normally mine's on a laptop. But I relate to the Bible and the coffee. It's a wonderful way to start the morning. And if it works better for you at lunch, that's fine. Or dinner, that's fine. Or whatever works for you. But the idea would be the Bible actually promises that those who what? Meditate on God's word will have prosperity. And we're not talking financially. I want to quickly say I don't think it excludes financially, but I don't think that's the main intent. The Bible makes it very clear. Those in God's word, number one, will be blessed. Psalm 1, they'll prosper. Joshua 1. If you said, Greg, real quick, what's your third favorite verse on encouraging Bible reading? It's 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, we'll just look at three verses. I have them all on the screen. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Now, again, it's kind of like Psalm 1. The nots come first, right? That there are certain things you have to refuse before there are certain things you choose. So you set aside all of those things that would dishonor the Lord. And then, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. It's the idea that you're longing for God's word. You want to fellowship with him. You want to spend time with him. And let's be frank. There are some times that you may not want to, but you still do. Because you know you need to. You've been a believer long enough that when you get away from God's word, it's kind of like drifting downstream and often in negative ways. But here's a person who, like a baby, is longing for the pure milk of the word, like a newborn baby. Now, let me try to encourage you with a reminder on progressive sanctification, right? It's not okay, I'm going to read my Bible for a day or a week, and then I should just be like a different person. Well, let me ask you a question. When your little baby drinks a bottle a couple times a day for a week, did he or she like, whoo, grow incredibly? No. It's progressive sanctification. The baby keeps drinking a little bit each day, and over months, over years, you'll see the growth. And yes, it will happen, because where there's life, there's growth. You know, notice how the end of this says that you may grow in respect to salvation if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. I think it's a very interesting if. That just says if you're a believer. If you're a believer, you have spiritual life. If you have spiritual life, it's because the Holy Spirit indwells you. So if your faith is in Christ and you have put faith in the work of Jesus, that he died on a cross for your sin and that he did literally raise from the dead the third day. And he didn't do that for his sin, but for your sin. And he is your Lord. Then you will have a desire to read God's word. And you will experience what that little baby experiences, which is progressive sanctification. Peter is saying it's just like a child. So, in illustration, I was trying to think of child development. And, I don't, you know, again, you can disagree with the dress for success. You can disagree with these. These are just illustrations. At 3 months, the little baby lifting up his head. At 6 months, the little baby beginning to crawl. At 7 months, the little baby holding up hands, and at 9 months, kind of starting to get up. And at 12 months, the baby is walking, right? Babies walk at 12 months, right? Well, some do. Some don't, okay? There's my little granddaughter, okay, Emma. And she doesn't walk, and she's beyond 12 months. And I wanted to double check. And how many months is Emma? 16, Nana says. Okay. So she's 3 months behind. 4 months behind. Thanks, Donna. Yeah. If Nancy and Donna weren't up here, I would be in trouble. 4 months behind. But that is my granddaughter. I know that. Okay. Now you say, so why do you think she's not walking yet? I'm going to give you my theory. You feel free to disagree with it. I think the reason she's not walking is because she's so incredibly cute. And what she does is she looks at me and she smiles and she says, Papa. And she knows that I will pick her up. I think whenever people see her, she's so cute that she's just figured, why walk when you can smile and go anywhere you want? Now, I don't know if that's accurate, but that's just what I think. Okay. The reality is what? Peter says, like newborn babes, just like little Emma drinks milk and eats whatever regularly, and she grows a little bit at a time spiritually, that's true of you. If you spend time in God's word, prayerfully now. We're talking about prayerfully, faithfully. You'll be blessed. You'll prosper. You'll grow. You say, okay, but how will I grow? Last point this morning. You will grow to become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the goal of your progressive sanctification. And there's no greater text on this reality than 2 Corinthians 3:18. Many people would say it's the greatest text in the New Testament on progressive sanctification. I'll read it. But we all, with unveiled face, now, in context, unveiled face means you're a Christian. And if that seems confusing, just go back and read the chapter and it would be more clear. But we all with unveiled face, I'm going to paraphrase this. Every Christian, that's what Paul is saying, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Okay, so here's what's going on. In my hand, I have my iPad, so it's open to my Bible. I'm reading God's Word. It's like a mirror. And I don't want to be overly literal, but the picture makes sense to me. You can't see God because God's a spirit. But let's just pretend God's in heaven. You say, God's omnipresent, He's everywhere. I know. But sometimes we just think of God being up in heaven. So God's up in heaven. I can't see Him because He doesn't have a body. But my Bible is like a mirror. So I'm reading my Bible and I'm seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. I am understanding the gospel. I am seeing what Jesus was like. I am reading in the Old Testament of the attributes of God and how He dealt with people and how loving and kind and compassionate He is. We all, as believers, looking in our Bibles, we see God's glory and literally are continually being transformed. Want to be careful. It doesn't say, and are changed. Boom. Read God's Word, you'll boom, never be the same. It's like Shazam. Literally, are continually being transformed. It's progressive sanctification. It's a little bit at a time. You say, from what? From glory to glory. And again, I've used these illustrations, so if I use an illustration and you say, hey, you've used that in the past, I would say, awesome, that's the goal. I hope you remember some. I'm on a platform. How did I get on the platform? Well, it's not that high. Maybe I could jump, but to go up the platform, you go a step at a time, right? From glory to glory to glory. That's how you go up steps. That's how you grow in Christ. Peter said that's how a baby grows, by milk. We grow that way from the Word, but we grow that way as we see Christ in the Word. That's what the text says. So continually being transformed into the same image, the image of Jesus Christ, from glory to glory to glory. How? Just as from the Lord. It's through the Spirit. See, I'm not suggesting, so let me see if this makes sense. I'm not saying, read the Bible, get fired up. Now go do it. It's not self-help literature. It's supernatural. It's God the Holy Spirit working through the Word, working in your life. And you take whatever text you're meditating on. You know, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, right? How could you ever get there in this life? But we try as husbands. So husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And you pray over that. And you meditate on it. And then all of a sudden, as you're going through life, what do you find out? Man, I need to be more loving to my wife. And then when I act selfishly, the Holy Spirit brings that verse right back to my mind. And it's okay, Lord, forgive me for that. I sinned. And help me. And it's God working in your heart supernaturally to become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, how does that happen? It's like being in the sun. How do you get tan? By being in the sun. Now, I know it's not a perfect illustration because there's skin cancer and all that, and it could be unhealthy. I get that. But if you're just walking out on a sunny day, then it will be obvious because your skin will become darker in pigment, as a rule at least, because being under the physical sun influences you. You know that, right? Here's a picture. I thought this was interesting. a very lightweight way of getting shade at the beach. And there's a couple of websites saying this is an awesome thing. It's a lot bigger than an umbrella. It's a lot lighter than one of those four-post canopies some people have, what have you. Now, my point is this. Notice the shade where those chairs are and the coolers at and whatever. Because everyone knows if you go to the beach and want to relax, you can only stay in the sun at least safely so long. Because being in the sun has an influence on you. Spending time looking at Jesus in the Word, it will have an influence on you. It will change you. We're not just talking about passing tests or Bible trivia. It's the idea of supernaturally, from the inside out, progressive sanctification. That's what the Scripture teaches. Those who will this year, any year, but this year, this is a new year message, will prayerfully spend time in fellowship with God, reading His Word regularly, you'll find that you can be blessed. You'll find that you can prosper, you can grow and become more and more like Jesus Christ. And you can have your best year ever. That's the point of the message. Regardless of what's happening around you. And I'm not minimizing the pain that some of you are going through. Some of you are going through really hard times. But the idea is you can still have the best year you've ever had. A year where you're blessed, you're prosperous, you grow, and you become more like Jesus Christ. If you will spend regular time in God's Word, you can be like that tree. Even if it's getting hit with lightning and the drought comes, you can still be strong like that tree. Now, I went a little faster because I wanted to end and spend a little bit of time just being incredibly practical. So what I wanted to do is I want to share some very specific ways that you might prayerfully consider spending time in God's Word. You say, Greg, okay, so how do I do? Okay, number one, pray for help. Pray. Guys, whenever you try to do something positive, it's hard. Why is it for me that watching college football and eating ice cream is easier than jogging? That's just how life goes. Whenever you want to do something positive, it's like swimming upstream. And you will find opposition. You'll find it in your own heart. I don't think it's a stretch to say there will be spiritual opposition. If you say, this year, by God's grace, I want to fellowship with Him and spend time in the Word, I would encourage you just to start with, Lord, help me. Because I know it's not going to happen without Your grace. So, number one, what do? You pray, Lord, help me. Number two, then, expect the opposition's going to come. And when the opposition comes, don't be discouraged. If things aren't going well, and you say, how can this be? Don't be surprised. Nancy and I, and one of our daughters, we just watched a DVD. It's the new DVD of Louise Amparini. It's called Unbroken, and I think the subtitle is Path to Redemption. I read Unbroken, and many of you have as well. Incredible story. I recommend it to you. And then there was the movie that came out, Unbroken, that talked about his life at sea and as a POW in the Japanese theater. And just a heart-moving story. The second movie, the new movie that comes out, focuses more on him putting faith in Christ. And how he just had such a problem with alcohol and just not a very nice person, but your heart goes out to him because of the way he was treated. And then they're at that Billy Graham meeting, putting faith in Jesus Christ. True story. And God changed his life. So the reason I use this as an illustration is we're watching this, and at the end of it, when he's giving his testimony, all of a sudden the sound goes out on the DVD. And Nancy and I just look at each other like, well, that's interesting. Right when the testimony of the gospel is there, it becomes very fuzzy. You say, could it be random? Perhaps. Perhaps not. I simply make the point, expect opposition. You say, where do I begin? Number three, begin with yourself. Dads, if you say, this is the year I want to do Bible reading as a family, I would say, okay, why don't you start with yourself? Husbands, if you say, this is the year I want to do Bible reading with my wife, I would suggest, why don't you maybe start with yourself? Begin with yourself. If I'm not spending time in the Word daily, I want to start there rather than spending time with my wife in the Word or with the kids or the grandkids or whatever. Begin first with yourself, okay? Just think about it. If you're not jogging, you don't want to be telling everybody else in your family you really need to jog, right? You don't want to be eating candy bars saying you guys need to eat healthy. So we always begin with ourselves, okay? And then have a specific plan, number four. So one, you pray for help. Two, expect opposition. Three, begin with yourself. Four, have a specific plan. You've heard this. Failing to plan is planning to fail. And this is so obvious, I don't even know if I have to say it, but just to reinforce, I trust. You know, this is going to be a new year. I'm going to lose weight this year. How? I don't know. You're not losing weight, right? This is going to be a new year, right? Financially, I'm going to do better than ever. How? I don't know. It's not going to happen, right? Failing to plan is planning to fail. If you're going to want to spend time in God's Word, you need some kind of specific plan. And I've actually read articles on why plans fail. And most of the articles agree the number one reason why plans fail is they're too complicated. Too complicated. People have great ideas, they try to do too much. You say, okay, Greg, what should I be doing daily? Keep it simple. Read and pray. And journal and think of 25 ways and reflect and memorize. And that's fine. But the fact of the matter is, a lot of those awesome ideas, you do them for about 2 weeks and then you stop. And you say, okay, now what do I do? Just begin with read and pray. You say, what is reading? God speaks to you. You're reading the Bible. What is praying? You speak to God. That's fellowship. That's a conversation. Open my Bible. I read. God speaks. And then I pray. I speak. And we talk back and forth. It could be that simple. You say, Greg, I've done this and I've been discouraged many times because I started well and I failed. All I'll tell you is I've experienced that more than once. You say, so how do you get encouraged? Number six, join a group. However you want to join a group. Ask a couple friends, are you doing Bible reading at all? Would you want to join me? You say, my friends aren't believers. That's awesome. Say, have you ever read the Bible? Would you want to join me? But get a friend. It could be a spouse. It could be a parent, a child. It could be a buddy at church, a girlfriend, someone at work, whoever. And read with someone so that you can encourage them and they can encourage you. And then finally, number seven, if you're serious, would you want to start today and make a decision that by God's grace this year, I want to do regular Bible reading? If that's true, where would you start? You've seen this slide in the past. I love the YouVersion app. I'm signed up for, I don't know, my third or fourth year of Bible reading on the app. And it is so convenient because most people are pretty close to their smartphone. Most people. Some people go to bed with their smartphone and wake up with their smartphone, okay? Some people don't leave the house without it. Now, maybe you're like that, maybe not, but either way, just go on your phone to Bible.com/app. And then there are so many different Bible reading plans to choose from. And then you, wherever you're at, on your phone. So that here you are waiting for your wife who's maybe in the store doing something and you dropped her off. And you're sitting there. What do? Do your Bible reading. You make an appointment for the doctor and he's overbooked, surprise. And you end up in the office for an extra half hour. Rather than getting discouraged, what a wonderful time to listen to the Lord. You're waiting for someone to change your oil, whatever. You're drinking your coffee in the morning. And you read because you always have it with you. And it keeps track for you. That's what the first year I got this, I really liked that. I used to use paper plans back in the day. And I would read maybe at my desk, check off what I've read. And I know you should remember where you read. I know that, but I don't. And so the next time I want to read, I'm not in my office. And I'm like, I want to do my Bible, some Bible reading. Where did I leave off? Did I read this chapter? No, I didn't. Did I read it? Maybe. I think I did. And I just wasted 5 minutes trying to figure out if I read it or not. And then sometimes I read it and I get, yeah, I read it. And then sometimes I think, no, I think I skipped the one before it. But if it's with you and it's being kept track of, you do this on your computer, do this on your phone, I would encourage you to do that. Now, I want to take this to the next step. This is a suggestion. This is a recommendation. If you're on the Trinity Bible Church email list, you've already received an email on this. But I want to be very, very careful. You don't have to take my recommendation. A lot of times people recommend things to me and I say thank you and I ignore it because I don't want to do it. And I think I have a better way. And that's fine. You don't need to listen to my recommendation. But I just, can I give it? And if you like it, great. We would welcome you. You say to do what? To read with us as a church. Read the Essential 100. That is one of the many Bible reading plans that you'll find at the YouVersion app. You say, how would I do that? Number one, accept your elder's invitation. Most have already gone out. I believe some might still be going out this afternoon. At Trinity, when you join, you're put in a shepherd group. There's an elder over each shepherd group. Each elder is texting or emailing every person in a shepherd group. And you're going to receive, many of you already have, an invitation. Now you're thinking, oh, that's why I got that text. And it will say something like, will you read the Essential 100 with me? Now, if you're not in a shepherd group because maybe you're not a member, I still want you to read. So all you have to do is email the office at trinitybiblegreer.org. And if you email office at trinitybiblegreer.org, you will be placed in my group. And we're going to read the Essential 100 together. If you'd like, I'm inviting you. It's a wonderful way. You say, why do you like this plan? Okay? Because it's a 100-day plan. If I asked, I'm not asking, how many of you have ever had a year-long plan that you failed? My hand's up more than once, more than twice. This is a 100-day plan. So as I was prayerfully thinking what would be a good goal, I thought, why don't we try 100 days? Maybe as a church family, if you would like to join us for 100 days, we could say, Lord, would you help me read through this plan? And what will I be reading? What this plan considers the essential content of the whole Bible, from Genesis all the way to Revelation. Now, I want to be careful because immediately some people are thinking, so are you saying all the Bible is not essential? No. I am saying, and I think you would agree, certain parts of the Bible are more essential than others. And it's generally those parts that bog us down that you won't be finding in the snap. For 100 days, we're going to get a big picture of the Bible. We're going to get the main story of the Bible, the message of the gospel, God bringing glory to himself by saving sinners like us from our sin. And why that was necessary and how it's all going to end. The whole thing in 100 days. I think that's pretty exciting. And I'm inviting you to read with us. The elders are doing it. The invitations have gone out or are in the process. And again, if you did not receive one, or at least we'll say if you don't get one by tonight's service, then just go ahead and email office at trinitybiblegreer.org. And again, I love to do this with you. And you say, what am I committing to do? You're not committing to anything, except you're going to try to read the Bible for 100 days according to a plan. You say, what if I fail? I would say, praise God you tried. And maybe you want to keep going. And if it takes you more than 100 days, that's okay. You say, what if I start and I stop? That's okay. That's all right. That's not a bad thing. I hope you will complete it. But it's okay. You say, well, what's the group thing? Well, many of you have read on YouVersion, but just in case you haven't, each day there's a list of the different readings, generally two or three. And you don't go to your Bible, just touch it and they come up. And then what happens is the last one is, do you want to share a comment? So if you're not a member of Trinity, you're not in a shepherd group, if you email the office will give you an invitation. If you just touch the invitation, you will be in my group. And let's just say there's 10 of us. So maybe one day we're reading and you do a reading, maybe out of Genesis. And you say, wow, God was faithful to Abraham. And if you just want to, you could just type that in your phone. God was faithful to Abraham. And the other 9 of us see it. And we're encouraged. And I'm doing my Bible reading, and now and then I'm reading something you wrote. And you're doing your Bible reading, and now and then you read something I wrote. You don't have to write anything. It's no requirement. But that's what it means to be in a group. And I'm hoping it'll encourage us for 100 days as we go through the essential content. And I would suggest you try a different translation. If you always read one translation, I'd encourage you to change for the next 100 days as you go through this plan. Obviously, what translation? I think they have like 50 different languages, okay? I'm not saying read a different language necessarily. But there are so many different translations in various languages, but I still want to be of help. I put up there the NASB, the ESV, the Holman Christian Standard, and the NIV. Those are the 4 translations I hang out in. I am convinced, no doubt about it, the best translation is the New American Standard. I did not say it's the easiest to read. I did not say that. A little more readable is the ESV or the Holman Christian Standard Bible. And if you struggle with Bible reading, I'd encourage you to read the 4th one, the NIV. Not saying you have to read any of those 4. You read any one you want. But I'm just trying to be helpful. When I study, I'm always, well, with my Greek Testament open, I have a NASB out. But often reading the ESV, the Holman, and the NIV as well. And then you say, Greg, I mean, maybe young people could get this, but I'm older. I'm like your age. Okay? I get it. I struggle with technology. Okay? I have an iPhone because Nancy has an iPhone. I've always had, droids, I guess we'll call them. And Nancy's always setting up her iPhone and the kids' iPhones, and I get stuck. What do you do? What do I do when I'm stuck with my phone and I don't know what to do? I go like this, honey, and I hand it to her. And she says, Greg, this is hard. I have to know 2 different phones. I need to get you an iPhone. It would be easier for me. I say, fine, give me an iPhone. I don't care. So now I have an iPhone. I don't care. You say, what happens when you get it? I give it to Nancy. Yeah. And now I have contact information, and I have my Bible reading app on here, and all of those things together. Okay? In fact, I have a couple different Bible apps, and they're all inside one little icon. It's really cool. You say, how did you do that? I just gave my phone to Nancy. Yeah. And magical things happened. Now, some of you younger are laughing, and I understand that. But in all seriousness, and this is serious, if you want to download an app and do Bible reading with us or without us, either way is fine. Or if you want to download the app and join a group and you say, I'm a little bit confused. After this service in the Trinity room, we have helpers that are there. And they are there for one reason. They want to be a blessing to you. They want to help you. You just say, okay, be my Nancy and hand them your phone and say, would you download that app? Could you show me how this works? And they will help you. Even if you want to do Bible reading but not be in a Trinity group, they will help you. How many of you are going to go for help? I don't know. If there's too many, then just check with one of the guys in that room and they'll make an appointment and you can talk with them later today or another day. We want to help you because we believe in Bible reading. You say, why are we doing this? Because our goal, by God's grace, is to help you have the best year ever. And no matter what comes your way, that you'll be like that tree, firmly planted by streams of water. But I am convinced, I believe the Bible, that, by God's grace, can be true for all of us. And it will not happen apart from spending time in God's Word. So here's the close of the message. Regardless of what plan you're using, Would you be willing this morning to pray, Lord, by your grace, I am going to get a specific plan for Bible reading this new year? That's my question for you. Would you do that? No raised hands, no coming forward. We don't do that. But would you be willing to pray, Lord, based on what the Bible says in Psalm 1 and there in Joshua 1 and in 2 Corinthians 3 and 1 Peter 2, I believe that I could have a wonderful year spiritually. And God, you help me, and I will plan to do Bible reading in the new year. I want to just pause for a second so that we can just sit and be quiet. And you would have an opportunity, if you choose, to say, Lord, by your grace, would you help me to engage in regular Bible reading in this new year?